Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2021 Youth Education Conference held in Orem, Utah.
All right, wow. So how many of the kids here read Tuttle Twins books? Wow, okay, the rest of you have homework to do. Your parents are to blame for not buying you the books yet. Okay, all right, we're standing back here. Okay, this is way more kids than I thought there would be, so this is fun. On the count of three, I want you, all the kids, to shout what your age is, because I'm curious. Are you ready? All right, one, two, three, go. Should we make the adults do that too? All right, don't lie, all you adults. Okay, one, two, three. They're older than you, that's all I heard. Okay, all right. So, we were doing our Come Follow Me the other day, and we came across a verse that I love that made no sense to my kids. And it was section 58, I want to say I'm bad with remembering numbers, but it's the one that says, we have to be anxiously engaged in a good cause. Anyone heard of that one before? A few people? Okay, we have to be anxiously engaged in a good cause and bring to pass much righteousness. Now, if you know anything about me, and I'll talk about this in just a second, I'm a guy who likes to do a lot of things. And if you talk to my wife, she says I'm a guy who likes to do way too many things. But because I want to be anxiously engaged in a good cause. I want to help people. I want to change the world. I want to do a lot of stuff. And that's what we're going to talk about today. How you can be what's called a thought leader. How you can influence other people. And a pioneer for greatness. How can you do good things? What's a formula? What are a few steps that you can, I guess, take notes on? We got some studious note takers here. You guys are going to do better than the adults. You get to quiz them at the end. So when you're driving home with mom and dad, you guys have your notes and you quiz them and you see if they remember the five steps. Okay? So what does it mean to be anxiously engaged in a good cause? Well, if we're anxious about something, I'm anxious to open presents on Christmas morning, right? I'm anxious. I can't wait. And to be engaged, this does not mean that you're about to marry the person that you're serving or that you're helping. It's not that type of engagement. It means like I'm engaged in playing this video game or I'm engaged in coding this app or I'm engaged in this book, okay? It means we're really focused. So we need to be energetic and we need to be focused in doing good things in bringing to pass righteousness, okay? It then goes on in the next verse to say we're agents unto ourselves. God gives us the ability and the authority and the expectation of changing the world and helping other people. Well, how can we do that? You guys are young. How do you change the world? I'm young. I mean, I don't know what I'm doing. No one trained me for this stuff. I didn't go to school to become a thought leader and a pioneer for greatness. We got to figure this out on our own, but hopefully we'll give you a few tips. And some of the adults, maybe, you know, they have some catch-up to do, but again, you can quiz them at the end. All right, so you guys already know about me. I do a lot of stuff. You can't see the pictures anyways, but, you know, we got a lot of Tuttle Twins books. They're fun. You should read them. We enjoy them. She didn't know I wrote the Tuttle Twins books. I wrote the Tuttle Twins books. So, yeah, I didn't get a bio at the beginning, I guess. Hi, I'm Connor. I wrote the Tuttle Twins books. I run a nonprofit called Libertas Institute. We change hearts, minds, and laws to create more freedom, and that's what I do. Okay, so my background. I'll read this because probably I'll just read all of this, especially for the people in the back. It's like the cultural hall, right? In the back of the pew, they come in late, they sit in the back, but we love you all the same, if you can even hear me. Thumbs up if you can hear me. Okay, all right, good. They're not just sitting there not paying attention. That's good. Okay, so I graduated high school in 1999. Who here was born? Anyone born? Let's see. No, that's 20... Anyone born in 1999 out of curiosity? No, not you. All right. So you've all been born since then. All right. My mom apologizes that I wasn't homeschooled because I grew up in San Diego, and that just wasn't a thing. In California, it wasn't really a thing back then. But she's like, oh, I wish I would have known about homeschooling. I went to BYU. I have a little clicker, so I don't have to stand by my computer. All right. So I graduated in information technology. I was a blogger for a while, back when like blogging was a thing. This is like 2005 or whatever. And then I started getting involved in a lot of organizations, and I wrote a lot of books. So that's kind of what's led me to this path in my life. But what I want to tell you, especially the younger people, is like, I have this weird thing in my life right now where a lot of people look to me, those who know me, not a lot of people know me, but the few people who know me, they see me as like this like expert and this knowledgeable person and this like, I don't know what the word would be. Okay. But the thing I want to tell you as part of starting this today is like, I'm not an expert. Like I said, I have no manual for doing what I'm doing. I was a web developer. I built websites and now I'm changing laws and I write a bunch of books and I had no training for that. Okay. I'm not an expert in any of this stuff. But the thing that's important is you don't have to be. It's so intimidating when we're younger to think, oh, I got to learn all these things and I have to learn how to do this. And, you know, there's something called imposter syndrome, where even adults will feel like we're imposters. We don't know what we're doing. I don't deserve to do this. Why am I speaking at a conference? Like, I don't know what I'm... Why am I speaking here? I don't know what I'm here, but they want me here, so I'm going to keep speaking. Okay, but I'm not an expert, okay? You don't have to go to college, and you don't have to get a degree in changing the world. As I'll talk about in a moment, some of the most impactful people are people who never planned for that. They never studied for that. They're not experts. They don't have acronyms after their name because of all these degrees they got. So the real question that you got to ask is, what do you want to do? Okay, if you want to be a thought leader, if you want to be a pioneer for greatness, if you want to change the world and make it better, solve this problem, stop this injustice, help these people, like, what do you want to see done in the world? What are you uniquely qualified, especially at a conference like this? Okay. What has God sent you here to do? You have unique skills. You have unique characteristics. What are they? What do you have to offer and create value for other people? Maybe this is a business you start. Maybe it's a service project. Maybe it's a, you know, grassroots group to, you know, go fight city council for food truck freedom. Who knows? Okay? But what do you want to do? You got to figure that out and give permission to yourself to let that change. When you're younger, we're often intimidated that, oh, I have to figure out everything, my whole next 50 years of life, I have to figure out what I want to do. You don't. It's going to change. I was a web developer. Now I change laws and write books and stuff. It'll change over time. Okay, so, like, do you want to be a business owner? There's a picture of Elon Musk, because he's like our Tony Stark. This is a picture of my friend Kathy Headley. She helps orphans in Africa and has a group called Mothers Without Borders. And there's Nancy Pelosi that you can't see, but that's probably a good thing because I don't like looking at her. So do you want to be a politician? And if so, you need to get a mental exam because that's not a good idea. But what do you want to do? All right, we got some people laughing at my jokes. You guys are fired. In the back, I don't hear anyone laughing. So, all right, so what do you want to do? What do you want to do? But then the question really is, who do you want to be? It's one thing to do stuff. Right? It's one thing to like start an organization or write a book or do a service project or whatever it is y'all do. Okay? I started saying y'all recently. I'm trying to get used to that. I'm from San Diego. I don't like it, but I'm trying. Okay, so who do you want to be? That is the more important question. Because this speaks to character. This speaks to who you are as a person, to those in your family, to those around you. What are people going to remember you for? And how are people going to remember you? Who do you want to be? So, do you want to be... This is a picture of Mike Rowe. Anyone seen the show Dirty Jobs? I love that show. It's a fun show. He goes around doing really dirty jobs, and it's fun to watch. So do you want to be like a hard worker? Okay? Where that's what you're known for. You're a person who works hard. You do tough stuff. You know, stuff that maybe other people don't want to do. That's a great thing to do and a great person to be. Do you want to be someone creative? Do you want to be someone who thinks outside the box and comes up with ideas and helps people? You're a problem solver. Do you want to be an influencer, right? Not like the TikTok, I can dance in 15 seconds and look like, I don't know why those people are called influencers, okay? Do you want to be someone who like influences other people to do good, right? We have to be anxiously engaged in a good cause, so we have to influence other people. That's why at our organization, we don't just change laws. We have to change hearts and minds first. We have to get people to think differently. We want to have more freedom, but we have to educate people. That's why we do these Tuttle Twins books, so that they learn more, right? And then change their heart and understand these ideas so that they then will support law. So if we want to be an influencer, great. How do we do that? Well, that's what being a thought leader really is. So I'll read this again because it's small. So what is a thought leader? A thought leader, I define a thought leader as someone whose views, whose ideas on a subject are taken to be authoritative and influential. A thought leader is someone whose ideas, whose opinions are considered influential. So again, this is getting to that influencer idea. A thought leader is also someone who contributes to the marketplace of ideas. You're a thinker. You're not just wandering through life passively and letting other people influence you, right? What does that scripture say? We have to act and not be acted upon. Well, what does that mean? That means we need to proactively be doing things. We need to be thinking things up that will help other people, that will change things. We need to come up with ideas. We need to be thinkers, right? We can't just go around and let other people do that job and then us do whatever they tell us to do, right? We want to be leaders, not followers. We don't want to be, you know, led along, buffeted, what is that scripture? Buffeted by every wind of doctrine, right? I think that's James 1:6. So give your parents a pop quiz. James 1:6. Okay. There you go. I got it wrong. It's in Ephesians. All right. Don't give me a pop quiz. I'll fail. All right. So a thought leader is also someone who changes the way people think and then what they do. We don't want to just have people have different opinions. We want them to change their behavior. Okay? So a thought leader is someone who has important views that are influential, so they're an influencer, they're contributing to ideas, they're thinking of things, and they're also leading to people changing their mind, they're changing their behavior. So I'm going to talk first to the kids, then I'm going to talk to the adults. So kids, I had a lady once when we were doing Tuttle Twins books, I sent an email, and I was like, hey, get this for your kids, and this lady replied, and she was angry with me. She said, don't call them kids. Does anyone know what a kid is? A baby goat. She thought I was calling her children baby goats. I'm like, lady, they're just called kids. Sorry. The name means something else now. All right. So, talking to the youth. Can you be a leader? You're too young. You're too young. You can, wait a few years.
I'm a leader right now.
Ah, a leader right now. Okay. I want to share a couple quick stories. So, this is a photo you can't see, but I'm going to share her story. This is Lizzie. When she was 6 years old, she wanted horseback riding lessons. So she paid for it by selling food at a farmer's market. And in this photo, she's 13 years old. She's written a book. She has been interviewed on all kinds of TV shows. She does seminars where she lectures people. She talks about the importance of healthy eating. She's helping people be more healthy. And it started just because she had a motivation to want to learn horseback riding. But that opportunity led her to figure out how to sell healthy food and how to get people to want to buy healthy food. For her, now she's on a mission to influence people to be more healthy. She started at the age of 6. Okay, this is a photo. Down here, there's a girl in the middle surrounded by a bunch of other kids. This is Neha. Okay, she was from India, but she grew up in the United States. And they would travel to India every year for her birthday. She was 9 years old. And they would go visit, in this photo, they would go visit orphanages. And she started selling, like, bracelet charms kind of thing that she would make. She started selling it for money to pay for kids' schools, kids' education in India. She started her own organization called Empower Orphans. And she raised over $1 million to help serve kids in India. She was 9 years old. This is Jack. He did a TED Talk. That's how I found him. I loved this story. He was 16 years old when his buddy died from a certain type of cancer. Lost his best friend. So he started Googling it, this type of cancer, to learn more about what had happened to his best friend. He decided to do a little science research project. And the project was to diagnose cancer, which diagnose means you detect it, right? There were different machines and tests that could be used to detect cancer. He thought up, because he studied really hard, because he was motivated because of his friend, he studied really hard, and he figured out a better way to diagnose this cancer that was 168 times faster than the existing method that so-called smart adults had thought up before him, and over 26,000 times less money. It was super cheap. He discovered this really cheap way. The kid was 16 years old. I've given this presentation to in the past a little bit of a different way, and I got this long list of stories, so I just picked three for today. There's so many examples out there about kids doing things if they are anxiously engaged in a good cause, if they really want to focus on trying to do something good. So the answer is yes, kids can be leaders. Now, for the adults, can you be a leader? I put right here, you're not blank enough. You know, fill in whatever word you want. You know, you're not smart enough, right? You're not networked enough. You're not wealthy enough. Whatever it is, we tell ourselves all kinds of things, right? What I find interesting about adults who are leaders is that sometimes the most impactful leaders are the ones who kind of stumble into it. So I got, you know, a photo of Rosa Parks, right? We all know her story. Well, for the kids, Rosa Parks was the lady who was black during segregation, and she was told to go back to the bus, and she was stubborn, which is why I like her. And she said, I'm not going to the back of the bus, and that sparked all kinds of other protests and support for people to push back against these unfair laws. We got Tank Man here. Okay, so anyone seen this photo with, this is in Tiananmen Square in China in 1989, I want to say. Don't give me that pop quiz because I might fail it. So in 1989, this guy was just walking along the road to get groceries, and what you can't see is in this photo, it's really huge, and there's this long line of tanks. So he can see from his vantage point like 20 or 30 tanks, and he's getting his groceries, and he goes to stand. You can find this video on YouTube. If you search Tank Man, the tank tries to divert and go around this guy, and he steps in front of it again. He's got like two bags of groceries in front of a tank, and then it tries to turn around again, and then he steps in front of it again. Like, that to me is leadership. This guy has been so inspirational. We don't know who he is. So inspirational for so many. He was just a guy doing his groceries, you know? And he was there at the right time, and he had the right character. He was prepared for that moment. And, you know, I mean, he didn't stop anything per se, but that act alone has been inspirational for so many people. This is a picture of Sendler. She was, this is an old lady right here, you can see, but when she was 29 years old, she was a Polish social worker, and she would give shelter to Jewish orphans during the Nazi, anyone learn about that? Ooh, that's not fun to learn about. But in Warsaw, in Poland, she would hide all of these kids. She rescued over 3,000 Jewish children. She's a leader in my book. She was just a social worker who happened to be in the right place at the right time and decided to act. We're going to find ourselves in whatever area, station we are in life. I mean, good heavens, look at the last year and everything the government's been doing and everything we've been going through and how many opportunities for leadership that there has been. Okay, for people to act and not be acted upon. For people to be anxiously engaged in a good cause. So, here's your five steps. So, got to take our notes. Got to give your parents that pop quiz. Five steps for becoming a thought leader, and I'll talk a little bit more about each. The first, you got to have knowledge. I'll go slow for those who want to write and doodle, because doodling is fun. Knowledge. Number two, dedication. And we'll talk about each of these, so if you miss one, we'll come back to it. Don't worry. You need knowledge. You got to have dedication. You have to know your audience. That's kind of interesting. That gets into some marketing stuff that we'll talk about. You need virality. Okay, think of viral videos. You need to do something that other people will want to share with other people so that you can do good. And then you need integrity. We're going to talk about each, okay? So don't worry if you didn't get them all. We'll come back. All right, so the first is knowledge. You have to, of course, read. Okay, an illiterate populace, people who don't read, is an ignorant populace. If you're illiterate, you're ignorant. You have to read. You have to be willing to read all kinds of books. Okay? We got to get smart if we're going to then be a leader for other people. We can't act on other people if we don't know how to help them and what the problems are and how we can help. That's why we have the Tuttle Twins. That's right. Give this kid brownie points. All right. Okay, then you have to study. What's the difference between reading and studying? Yeah. Studying is reading with the intent to learn and then practice. Put it into practice. Exactly. You study, I would say, is more focused. Reading is just like, yeah, I'm reading, I'm learning, I'm going to read a bunch of books. But study is, I want to learn how internal combustion works. I'm going to go study that, right? Or the 16-year-old, right? I got to study cancer. I got to read everything I can about that issue. I'm going to be very focused, okay? Then you have to internalize and memorize. You have to be able to stand up in front of other people and talk about things that you know. You have to understand these things. It's not enough. In the last class I gave, I talked about how when I was in school, I would do pump and dump. I was in public school again, right, unfortunately. And so the teachers would pump my head full of stuff, and I would take a test, and then I would dump it out of my head. Because I didn't care about it, and they were forcing me to learn things I didn't want to learn about. But when we read and study things that can help us be leaders, we have to internalize these stories and these facts and these examples so that we can share them with other people. Did you know this next one is writing and teaching? We have to learn how to write well. If we want to persuade other people, learning how to write is so important. Okay, because to teach other people, we need to be able to write persuasively if you want to be a thought leader. So you have to practice writing. And what's really interesting about writing is that your brain learns things way better when you write it. Did you guys know that? That's actually a scientifically proven fact. So good job, those who are writing. You're learning this way more. And then you can give your parents the pop quiz and see if they remember. When you write, you learn. I didn't know that until I was in college, and I read the research about this, how when we write things down, we actually learn it better. And I would rarely take notes. I would just kind of sit there and listen, thinking that like this stuff was just going into my head. It wasn't. And the people who were like writing things down, taking notes, learned and remembered it way more. We have to debate and discuss. This one is tough because we're in like this weird like victim culture and like, oh, your ideas are different than mine, therefore I hate you, and like the world is kind of weird right now. But it's really important still to be willing to debate other people respectably, whatever the word is. All right, you have to know English too. All right, discuss with other people, right? Start a book club. I started one when I was younger. It's pretty fun. Do a book club with your friends, with your siblings, with, you know, people at church, whatever. Discuss your ideas. Debate your ideas. Do debate club. Okay? You know, start your own debate club. Debate with your parents. They'll love it. You'll win. Just kidding. All right. And then refine your ideas. Be willing to understand that the process of becoming a leader is a process of refinement. I love how Joseph Smith once talked about how he felt like a rough stone rolling. You ever heard that phrase? He felt like he was this rough boulder, and as he would kind of fall down the mountainside or whatever, little bits would get chipped off here and chipped off there until he became this smooth stone. So he talked about that process of refinement was like having the rough edges taken away. You guys are young, and even for us older folks, we're still rough around the edges, and we have to refine our ideas. Just because you're old, you're not old. Just because they're older, just because they're age-challenged, like me, does not mean that we're smart and that we know everything. It doesn't mean that we're right. The thing I hated the most about being young was when older people would presume that they were right just because they were older than me, right? Truth does not depend on your age. But you have to recognize that especially when you're young, we know less. We have to refine our ideas. We have to be willing to learn more. Okay, so we need knowledge. You want to be a thought leader? You got to gain knowledge. Okay, dedication. I talk a lot. I got to talk faster. We got a lot to cover, you guys. All right, dedication. First, you got to develop a passion. What are you passionate about? Again, what are you uniquely focused to do? What has God sent you here to do? And it's okay if you don't know that. You'll figure it out. But you have to go out and try and figure it out. You got to explore things. So find your passion. Okay, plug for the parents. Check out Passion Driven Education where we talk about that. All right. Then you have to have focus. Once you have a passion, you got to focus on it. That's what's amazing about homeschooling. You guys have the freedom to do that. You can spend like 7 hours in a day learning about, you know, the Arabian Peninsula and the, you know, seasonal drought situations and what you can, like, I don't know, whatever it is that you're passionate about. You can go deep. You can read Wikipedia all day long and whatever, you know, you can focus on stuff. Where in public school, it's like, let's go learn this for 45 minutes. Then let's go learn this for 45 minutes. You guys can focus. And with focus, you have dedication, and with dedication, you'll have influence. Okay, you also have to sacrifice. This is what's tough for people who want to be leaders. Maybe this means you're going to have less time to hang out with friends or play video games or mow the lawn or pull weeds, right? Like, you're not going to have time to pull weeds. You need to go out and be a leader. So remember this for later on. Yeah, shucks. We have to sacrifice certain things. We have to go focus on becoming a leader. So remember that. Just say Connor said. Okay. PPPG, this is from my granddad. My granddad used acronyms all the time. KTYL, know that you're loved. So PPPG, this is like my life motto from my granddad. Persistence pays pretty good. PPPG, okay? This is a secret I've seen in my life. Do you guys know what persistent means? That you're just doing it again and again and again? You know, it's like when Mom says no cookies, and then you say, well, you know, can I have cookies in 10 minutes? No. Can I have cookies if I, you know, do the dishes? No. That's persistence. You're eventually going to win because persistence pays pretty good. Again, don't tell your parents I said that. PPPG, you have to persist. Don't give up the first time. You will fail again and again and again and again. And that's okay, because failure is an awesome teacher. We learn a lot when we fail. But you have to persist. If you want to be a leader, people who are leaders, they're sacrificing other things because they have to spend their time focusing, and they're being persistent. They're like, I want to become the best writer. I want to write an amazing book. Okay? My son just the other day came to me. He wants to write a series of books. He's 12 years old. And he's already working on one in Google Docs. And he's like, hey, I'm going to sell it. And this will be great, and I'll make a bunch of money. And I'm like, you know, like I want to encourage it, right? Like, yeah, this is awesome. But what I'm helping him understand is that he's going to have to persist. He's going to fail. No one's really going to buy his book right now. But if he tries again and again and gets input right, then he's going to improve, and so will you. So you have to persist. Okay, the third, know your audience. Okay, who are you trying to lead? Here's a trick. It's not a trick. Here's a lesson. If you try and speak to everyone, you end up speaking to no one. So with whatever your message is, with whatever it is you care about, again, you find that passion and you focus. So maybe for me, it's teaching homeschool kids about free markets. So I have the Tuttle Twins, and I go tell all the homeschool kids out there to go read the Tuttle Twins books. I don't go out to, like, you know, public schools or 80-year-olds or, you know, whatever, right? I focus because I want to target exactly the people that I want to lead. So if you want to be a thought leader, you got to know who is your audience that you're trying to influence. Then you have to identify their passion points. What are they excited about, right? How can you serve them? Like, if homeschool kids really love reading, then I'm going to write books. You know, if you know, teenagers love playing video games and that's who I want to lead, but I want to teach them about character, maybe I create a video game about character. I don't know. Who's my audience? And then what are they passionate about, and how can I do something about that? You have to speak their language. Okay, if I come to you, si yo empiezo a hablar en español, no me van a entender porque no estoy hablando su idioma, ¿verdad? Right, if I speak to you in Spanish like that, it's kind of rusty, it's been a little while. You're not going to understand me. If you try and speak to other people, if you try and speak to someone who doesn't believe in God, and you use all these religious terms and cite scripture, they're not really going to understand what you're talking about. So you need, if you're trying to influence a certain group, maybe kids who love, kids that struggle with mental health, and you want to teach them about how horses can actually help people with mental health challenges, kind of interesting little fact, okay, you need to speak their language. You need to understand what they think and what they feel, and what words you can use that they're going to understand so that you can then lead them and help them. All right, so number four, virality. This is a photo of Mr. Beast. Anyone watch any Mr. Beast videos? All right. Anyone had a Beast Burger yet? I still haven't had a Beast Burger. Oh, all right. We got a winner. All right. Mr. Beast is probably the most viral YouTuber. Family friendly, by the way. Pretty funny guy. And he's not just pretty funny. He's hilarious. I was corrected. He's hilarious. Thank you. He's hilarious. Now, he's viral. In fact, in my organization, have you all heard the acronym WWJD? What does that stand for? What would Jesus do? We have an acronym at Libertas Institute. It's WWMBD. What would Mr. Beast do? Because he does something really smart with his videos. He tries to get a lot of people to watch his videos, and he does them in a certain way that works. And so when we do our videos, we try and think, he's a leader to us in reaching people and having viral content, right? He's helping influence me. And so in our organization, we're like, well, how would Mr. Beast do a video about how people are getting their driver's licenses suspended because they didn't pay the government, right? Like, I can learn from him, and I can apply it. Okay, so how do you be viral? Here's the trick to being viral. Because you have a message. You figured out who your audience is and what you want to do to help them and what your passion is. You've got a message to get out to the world. You're going to be anxiously engaged in a good cause, but how do you get people to listen to you? Okay, the first thing you got to do, you got to preach to the choir. Okay, that's a term that means you go find the people who are already going to kind of agree with that message, and you talk to them. So here I am talking to LDS homeschoolers, of which I am one. You guys are my choir, so I'm preaching to you because you're already like-minded. Okay, but once you preach to the choir, you gain converts. You get people to know, hey, I know Connor, and, you know, he was only wrong in about half of the stuff he said, and so it was pretty good. And, you know, I guess 51% is okay, so I'll read his books, and I'll tell my friends about him. So you gain converts. People are interested in what you're doing. They want to help you. They want to support, so you get converts over. Make your ideas fun. It's fun to watch Mr. Beast videos. It's fun to read the Tuttle Twins books. It's fun to, you know, go change the world and whatnot. Whatever you're doing, make it fun so people want to do it. And then you want to use other people's social networks. So, for example, what Mr. Beast might do is he's like, hey, I got this video. I'm going to get this other YouTuber to come on to my video, and that way the people who like him are going to come learn about me. Or if I start a podcast, let's say I want to start a podcast because I want to teach kids math in a fun way. And so then I'm going to have, like, who's my audience and what are their passion points? And if my kids like if my audience likes Mr. Beast, I'm going to try and get Mr. Beast to come on my podcast and talk about math, right? I don't know. I'm gonna try and find other people who have a following, and I want to bring them to me so that I can become more influential and reach their people. We are doing ourselves a disservice if we don't figure out how to make our ideas spread. It's great to have opinions. It's great to think the things that you do. It's great to do whatever it is you do. But being anxiously engaged in a cause and bringing to pass a wee little bit of righteousness is not what the scripture says. Right? We got to bring to pass much righteousness. We got to reach out and reach a ton of people. If you're a missionary out there, I served my mission in Honduras. We didn't just like sit there like, okay, maybe someone will want to come talk to us at some point. We'll just kind of wait in case anyone says hi, right? You got to go bang down doors and you got to stand up on boxes and shout and preach and figure out ways to, you know, I guess now, anyways, I won't go on a tangent. I've gone on too many tangents. All right. Fifth one, integrity. You need to embody your message. This means that if your message is why the gospel is true and everyone needs to believe it, then if you're out in your private life doing things that are, you know, bad, then people aren't really going to believe you because you're acting in a way that does not embody your message. But if I want to teach kids about free markets and, like, all I talk about is free markets and how economics is fun and how it makes the world go round, like, people know that that's what I do and who I am. I embody my message. So you want to be authentic, okay? You don't want to have hypocrisy. You don't want, again, like people thinking that you talk one way and do something else. If you want to be a leader, you have to be consistent. You have to live your message. But, again, just like my son learning how to read or learning how to write, and he wants to write a series of books, go easy on yourself, okay? We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. We have to be patient. Okay, we have to take our time. We got to understand that this is a process. Now, I want to caution you, as someone who has been trying to be anxiously engaged in a good cause and bring to pass a tiny bit of righteousness, there are risks. Okay, I wish I had prepared the quote, but there's a great quote about, like, you know, President Hinckley shared it once. It was from an English author, and he basically says something to the effect of, like, if you've never knocked a cup from someone's mouth, and if you've never spilled ink, and if you've never caused problems that upset people, then you've never made a difference. The basic gist of that quote, which I horribly butchered, so I know I'm recording this now, and, you know, people are going to go make fun of me later for not remembering or preparing, is the purpose of that quote is, if you're going to be a thought leader, if you're going to put yourself out there and try and change things and do good, people are going to disagree with you. There are going to be plenty of people who think you're dumb or think you're wrong or think you're stupid or think you're wasting your time or whatever. So there are risks to being a leader. Okay, one risk is lobsters in a bucket. Did you know that if you put lobsters in a bucket, as one lobster starts to climb out, the other lobsters in the bucket will try and pull it down back into the bucket? That's weird. And yet, what does it mean for you? It means that as you step out and be like, yeah, I'm an awkward teenager, but now I'm going to be this awesome leader, and all my awkward friends are going to think I'm weird for trying to not be awkward anymore, but I'm going to try and go be a leader, right? Maybe some of them might tear you down, might think, tell you you're not good enough, you're too young, no one's going to believe you, no one's going to care about your opinion, right? Lobsters in a bucket, these are other people who aren't leading, who aren't trying to be anxiously engaged in a good cause, and they're going to criticize. And they're going to try and get you to stop doing what you're doing, right? So we have to develop thick skin. We have to have confidence in ourselves that this is what God wants us to do. This is what my mission is. And even if people are saying that I shouldn't, trying to pull me down like a lobster in a bucket, I still need to do it. Another risk of thought leadership is it can be lonely sometimes. When you lead out, not everyone is thinking the same way as you or wanting to take the same risks as you or want to be as involved in you. A lot of people just want to watch sports and watch Mr. Beast videos all day long, which is probably okay because they're fun. But, you know, right? So you got to sacrifice. It can be a lonely path. You got to understand that, that if God wants you to do this, you go read the scriptures. God wanted a lot of people to do a lot of things that, you know, think of like Job is the worst case example, right? It's not always like unicorns and rainbows when you do what God wants you to do. Sometimes it can be tough. There's also uncertainty. You'll doubt yourself. You will doubt yourself over and over again. I do. The age-challenged folks among us all do. We all doubt ourselves. There will be uncertainty. You just need to understand that that's okay. That's part of the process. And then another risk is rejection of the message. Okay? If I'm a missionary out preaching the gospel, not everyone's going to believe me, and I'm going to have people who believe differently coming up to argue with me and tell me I'm wrong and I'm wasting my time and blah, blah, blah. Okay? A lot of people will reject the message. But again, read the scriptures. You're in good company. Plenty of prophets and everyone else have been rejected. That doesn't mean what they've done is not important or true or right or can impact the people who listen. Okay, I'm going to read this quote. Thought leadership is not about being known. It's not just that, you know, I want everyone to know who Connor Boyack is, right? Like, it's not just about being known. It's about being known for making a difference. To be a true thought leader, focus on adding real value. It's about building visibility and credibility. So you got to be visible. People got to know who you are. And you have to be credible. They have to believe you so that you can make a true difference in the world. Okay, so I talked in the title about being a thought leader and being a pioneer for greatness. And I have a couple slides here that basically all just say that they're one and the same thing. Because the five steps to becoming a pioneer for greatness are, surprise, surprise, the same five things that you need to become a thought leader. So if you want to do great things, you need knowledge. You need dedication. You have to know who your audience is, who you're trying to serve and impact. You need to get the message out and be viral. You need to have integrity. These things are the same. Okay? So it's the same five steps. This is a great quote. The vitality of thought. Vitality is like to be alive, to, you know. The vitality of thought is in adventure. Ideas won't keep. Something must be done about them. Have any of you ever opened like your really old food storage jar of maybe like canned pears or tomatoes and you pop it open and it smells horrible because mom forgot to rotate the food storage or something like that, right? Like, you got stuff in your pantry that goes bad. It doesn't keep. It doesn't last very long. What this quote is saying is that ideas don't keep. Something must be done about them. It's not enough for you to read in books and think up ideas and wonder about things. We have to do something about it. We have to act. We have to be engaged. Okay, this is what God wants us to do. We can't just learn about this stuff. We have to then go out and do things. Think about the early days of the church. They were all learning about the gospel, all these new revelations. And then even when they were like just a few weeks into their after being baptized, God would say, okay, you're going on a mission. Go preach the gospel. Congrats on getting baptized last Thursday. You're now a missionary. Right? Ideas won't keep. We have to do something about them. We have to go out and apply them and be a leader. Okay, so you want to make a difference and change people's lives. Changing a person's life first requires understanding it. You need to know about the people that you want to influence first. But to understand someone's life, you also have to understand the world. There's a great section of Doctrine and Covenants which talks about we have to learn things in the world and above the world and down below and things happening in the future and now. And God is basically saying we got to learn a lot about a lot. We can't just understand what homeschooling youth need. We got to understand, well, what's happening in schools and what's happening in college and what's happening in the government and what's happening in the city council and what's happening in our culture. Because if we want to understand how to help you, we got to understand kind of what all is happening in the world. We got to understand a lot. Okay, as I wrap up, I want to share something that I've found to be pretty interesting as I think about how to help younger people, but even us age-challenged folk, about how to be a thought leader and a pioneer for greatness. This is a quote from Alexis de Tocqueville. And kids, if you don't know who Alexis de Tocqueville is, then you have homework to do. So parents, remind your kids, you got to learn about Alexis de Tocqueville. Super interesting guy. He says, men are frightened by the limitless independence with which they are faced. The limitless independence, we're frightened by it. He says they are worried and worn out by the constant relentlessness of everything. In other words, the world's moving so fast. There's so much to learn. He wrote this like 200-some-odd years ago. Okay? We have now apps that are buzzing and social media and all these things that are just bombarding us with things, constant relentlessness of things, okay? So there's an interesting book here as I wrap up called Lost in Transition. This was written, I think, about a decade ago. So this is more for the parents. What's interesting about the findings for today's world is this was a hundreds of in-depth interviews with young adults age 18 to 30 that was done about a decade ago to try and kind of understand what's going on with youth and the rising generation today. They talked about morality and happiness and politics and really just trying to dig into like everything that these kids think and feel. So what they found is that today's world provides a few useful intellectual tools. Parents, teachers are failing to give their children intellectual tools with which to understand the world. 34%, think of this, guys. I mean, we're different, right? But 34% of these youth did not know what makes anything morally right or wrong. A third. These are like voters now. They get to decide on if you should pay more taxes or not. And I might say, that's immoral. And they would say, I don't know. What makes something moral? Like, they don't know. That's troubling. Youth are highly individualistic. They're apathetic toward the common good. Systemic reform, interdependence, right? This community, cohesion, right? They're just atomistic. They're atoms. They're just disconnected. They're apathetic about other people, okay? Not you guys. I'm talking about other kids, so don't worry about this. All right. Their goals, by and large, young adults, personal comfort and happiness, not personal improvement, not service, not spirituality. And this was kind of segmented. This is all across America, different religions and culture backgrounds and all this kind of stuff. And then there is widespread intoxication to relieve boredom. That's interesting. Final one is 96% of them consider themselves apolitical. No civic engagement, no desire to kind of be anxiously engaged in good causes. Basically, these are lazy basement dwellers who don't care about other people, and that's our future. So that's fun. All right, so here's a quote from the book. It says, "The adult world that has socialized these youth has done an awful job when it comes to moral education and formation. These emerging adults are simply lost. They are morally at sea in boats that leak water badly. But if these emerging adults are lost, it is because the larger culture and society into which they are being inducted is also lost." Final quote, "The families, schools, religious communities, sports teams, and other organizations are failing to provide many young people with the kind of moral education and training needed." Why do I share this? I share this because you guys are aging out into adulthood, entering a world that is just messed up in a lot of ways. But I'm also an optimist. There's a lot of reason for hope, but there's also a lot going on that are problems. And there always has been. God wants us to be leaders. God wants these people to be helped. God wants us to serve. But we have to rise to the occasion, and we're never too old to do it. We have to understand that we have a place in all of this, and we can't just passively accept this type of culture and society that is not only increasingly non-religious, but increasingly non-moral, that they just don't even think about things that way. So I would invite you to remember, and I would invite the kids to give their parents a pop quiz about, again, the 5 steps. We got to gain knowledge. We need to be dedicated. We need to figure out our audience that we want to serve and try and influence. We need to be viral. We need to figure out how to reach these people and actually how to serve them. And we need to have integrity. These are tools that I've seen benefit my own life as I try and think about how I can be more strategic and how I help other people, how I reach and teach them. And for those of you who want to be anxiously engaged, that want to bring to pass much righteousness, these are some ideas that can help you. Because I think that our world is not set up in a way that is going to give these ideas to you. The schools and the media and other people, they're not going to say, hey, we want to help you be effective and serve other people and be a good moral person and be an influence for good and change the world. Like, that just isn't out there. It's up to us to talk about these ideas and to help kids think up projects and opportunities and experiences that they can have that are going to entice and motivate them to gain these experiences and have find themselves in a situation where they can put this stuff into practice. Our world needs more leaders. And sometimes you might be like a Rosa Parks or a Tank Man where you just stumble into that. But I don't think God wants us to just stumble into opportunities to do good. The scriptures are very clear that it's up to us to improve things. It's up to us to help other people. And so consider this an invitation to all of us, myself included, that we have to try harder. Our world needs us to do a lot of good, and so I invite you to be along the journey with me and be anxiously engaged in a lot of good causes. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.